Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Radio program and exhausted but elated, James Edwards here with you Saturday night, September 17th. Calling in tonight to our flagship studio in Memphis from my hotel room on the other side of the state, Knoxville, Tennessee, where I'm wrapping up a 2.5 week speaking tour, and it couldn't have been wrapped up before a higher caliber of audience than that, the one I enjoyed today here at the Practical Politics and Leadership Seminar. It was hosted by my good friend and yours, Derek Black, host of the Derek Black Show on AM 1340 WPBR down in West Palm Beach, Florida. And we have the conference's organizer and kingpin now on the phone with us. Derek is not far from me. I had to come back to the hotel in order to do the show. I guess, Derek, you're still enjoying your victory lap, right?
Yeah, we are in the middle of dinner, actually, but just waiting for the main dishes to come out. So it's great to talk to you, James. It's too bad that you can't be here with us.
Well, you know I want to be. You know I'm jealous, I tell you. I got to enjoy a good dinner last night with everybody, with all of the speakers. And I appreciate you, Derek, for taking a little bit of time out of the middle of your meal in order to join the audience and share with those who weren't able to be with us today exactly what they missed. And, Derek, I know you called me back, I guess it was midsummer, and we talked about, you told me you were doing this thing, you wanted me to be a part of it, and of course I signed on right away. And I realized, as you were describing it, that it was going to be a little bit different than some of the conferences we've been to before. What was your vision for what happened today, Derek?
Well, James, we've been planning this for quite a few months, and I'm kind of amazed that it came together, because last spring we didn't know whether it would. It kind of got nixed at the beginning of the summer, and I and some other people revived it. And the point of this was totally different, if I may say so, from all the other conferences, pro-white conferences that I've attended in my life, and I've been to many of them, because we organized this seminar that happened today. It was a resounding success, around the idea that people know that there's a problem. People know that when they're condemned as a racist because they are pro-white, because they see something wrong with the anti-white establishment, they know there's something wrong, and nobody needs to be told there's something wrong, but we all need something that we can do. And the answer to that is verbal tactics. Practical politics means keeping on message, using talking points that are effective, always putting anti-whites on the defensive. When somebody walks up to you and says that you are racist, they're not challenging you to a debate, or they're not using an intellectual argument. They're using a weapon that anti-whites and commies, you know, have been using for decades with deadly effectiveness. They have put people who are morally right, who have the angels on their side, on the defensive for decades by calling us names. And what we can do to challenge that is put them on the defensive. When somebody says that you are racist, you say you're saying that because I'm white. You know, you are anti-white. Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white. And that's just an example of some of the many talking points and the tactics that we were coaching people in today here at the seminar. And that's just one example of a host of things that people can use to put these anti-whites on the defensive. Because that's absolutely what we have to do. They are anti-white. They are antithetical to a human spirit because they deny that we exist. You know, when people say that white people don't exist, they're not using an intellectual argument. They're trying to use pseudoscience to justify their own anti-white policies. And these people can't be given a pass. They can't be allowed to remain on the offensive. And so everybody who attended the seminar today got coached, in the beginnings at least, of using practical political verbal tactics, talking points, and staying on a consistent message to put these people on the defensive immediately when they walk up. When somebody walks up and says to one of our attendees that you're a racist, or you're a supremacist, or you're a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews, or something that they think is really effective to shut up a moral person who is defending the rights and the well-being of white people, you know, when they say that's one of our attendees after today, they're not going to get somebody who says, oh, you've called me a racist. Well, I just must bow down to your eloquent statement. They're going to get somebody who comes out like a lion, who puts that anti-white on the defensive, who shuts him down, and who embarrasses him in front of everyone around him. You know, our guys and our girls who attend our seminars are absolutely fearless because they know they have the angels on their side, and they know that they have the verbal tactics to just put these immature anti-white people who think they can call anybody they want a racist on the defensive. And, you know, you gave a great speech on that today. You were talking about the power of these words like racism and white supremacism, and you talked about the power that we have to point out that these people are the racists, these people are the haters, these people are the hypocrites, and we can destroy them by pointing out that hypocrisy. You know, that's why we gathered today, and that's what we coach people in. We didn't wring our hands. We told them tools, and we trained people in tools that they can use every day. And I hope that every anti-white out there who listens to the show tonight is just shaking in their boots at the thought of future seminars like this one.
Well, you know, it's proselytizing. You know, there was over 100 people in that room today, which, you know, it's a lot of people. That's enough people to make an impact in their local communities if they go out with the kind of fervor, Derek, that you and I, you know, live our lives by. And just listening to you now, Derek, folks, you're getting an idea, first of all, of the brilliance of Derek Black. It's such an honor to have him back on the show tonight. He's doing now in West Palm Beach what we're doing in Memphis, and it's great to know that there's other radio shows out there now, and you got to support Derek and his work. But he put this whole thing together. And just listening to Derek kind of recap what we were there for today, I know you can't see me because this is radio and not television, but I'm pacing up and down the bedside in my room like a caged lion. I'm grinning from ear to ear. Derek's got me all pumped up again. I want to get out there. I want to go to the restaurant and see everybody. I want to talk to somebody. I guess we're talking to a lot of people right now, Derek being on the radio, but folks, you're just
getting... It's kind of fun. You know, you've got people from the same dinner who are coming on the show. Every now and then you see somebody stand up with their cell phone and go out outside on the porch.
Well, that's right. And yeah, I'm going to tell you, you know, tell David he's on deck next, and then Paul at 9 o'clock, and then we're going to get Sam. I mean, we're going to get these guys on. So I'll have you.
It's fun to watch. But, James, you gave a great speech today. It was a real honor, a real pleasure to have you there today. And I talked to so many people who were just overjoyed to have you be a speaker at the seminar today. I mean, you really helped the day, and we all appreciate that you were there. Your work is just priceless. The things that you do on the radio show and in your daily life are things that all people owe you a debt for doing that, because so long people have been shut up by these anti-white talking points like racist, and it's, you know, rare people like you who look through that, who hear a curse word like that, or hear some kind of magic spell like racist, and see beyond that, and see the real rhetoric, the real hateful rhetoric that's powering that. That somebody who calls a white person a racist just for being a white person is not some kind of moral humanitarian, a humanist. He or she is anti-white, and it's rare people like you who are willing to take that abuse because you realize it is the moral thing to do.
Derek,
the seminar today are like that too.
Derek, we're coming up on a break. I want to ask you to stay tuned. First of all, my friend, thank you so much for your kind words there, and of course that comes back to you tenfold. We've got to take a break. I want to quickly wrap up with you on the other side. And what's so interesting is that, you know, you were talking about my work. Well, my work was inspired by so many of the people in this room today. There's so much reciprocity going on here. We got to take a break, though. Stay tuned, Derek. Just stay with us one more second. We'll be right back.
When the truth is found to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. I wanted to certainly give a little bit more time to the man who made today's event happen here in Knoxville, the Practical Politics and Leadership Seminar. That's where we've all been today, and of course it was organized and put together, meticulously planned and perfectly executed by Derek Black, host of the Derek Black Show down there on AM 1340 WPBR in Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, Florida. Derek, you know, I know you're there at the restaurant right now. Has your food got to the table yet, buddy?
Say that again, James. It is just now arriving, so you actually have perfect timing. So you haven't interrupted anything, and the food is just now getting here. So I'll talk to you for a few more minutes, and then I will eat my ribs and pulled pork sandwich.
Enjoying a rack of ribs after a successful conference. Well, I can't stop you there.
I appreciate your comments about the execution, too, even though I can't take complete credit. I had a lot of ideas for the seminar, but, I mean, the real credit went to some of the people in Tennessee and some of the national structure we had. People have been put so much work into this. I know you've organized gatherings and conferences and things, so you know how many hours goes into that and how many late nights people spend organizing and making sure everybody's registered and making sure everybody has name tags and a million details. And all those people deserve appreciation, and I don't think you can even give it to them enough, because people give so much time. People sacrifice so much time and so much money and so much of their freedom because they think something like this is important. And I don't think other organizational structures, you know, have people who are so talented and so willing to sacrifice for it outside of the pro-white cause. I think we're actually unique in that we have such talented people who are willing to do so much for it.
Well, Derek, I hope there will be more conferences like this. You know, as you said at the top of the last segment, it was a little bit different than some of the conferences we've been to before. And those conferences were great, but this one had a little bit different theme, a little bit different purpose. It wasn't just straight speeches. Excuse me. There was a lot of crowd participation today. And this, I noticed something today, and I'm sure you did too, and probably it was planned this way, and I noticed this last week in Washington at the NPR conference. Everybody, Derek, that you had up there to speak complimented one another. There was a, you know, repetition, and I mean this in a good way, some repetition, some overlapping, and I think people were very much intellectually armed today, and we can only hope that they take that armor and apply it in the court of public opinion in their daily lives. But, again, a little bit different purpose for this conference. You talked about some of the people who came up and talk to you about how much they appreciated this and the speakers that you had. Well, we spent, you know, nearly the entire first hour talking about that, how great the people themselves were. The crowd made this thing. I know it's sounding as if I'm being, you know, if people weren't here, and they're not coming off the high of the
society.
Yeah, you know, they just don't know. I mean, perhaps it sounds as if I'm being overly effusive, but you would have had to have been here. And I know I was like this last week, too, you know, in Washington. I called in the hotel room. But, you know, this is the kind of you know, energy that you have after going to something like this. I only wish everybody listening to the show tonight could have been here. We're talking about it, Derek. I know Father Francis filmed it. Do we know if any of this is going to be made available on the Internet at a later date?
Yeah, there's going to be YouTube videos made available, and MP3s of everything are going to be released this coming week. So people who aren't there can look for the Practical Politics Leadership Seminar MP3s and YouTube videos, and there'll be some select videos and MP3s of everything put out for people who couldn't make it.
Oh, outstanding. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I wasn't even privy to that information yet. I hadn't asked. I was hoping. But there you go. There's confirmation from the horse's mouth. So if you missed this conference, it will be made available to you later this week, next week. So stay tuned. And of course, once it's made available.
You want to look at the norm of the words, you know, conference and seminar. And those aren't anything that we as pro-white people coined. You know, people have in their corporations have conferences and seminars all the time. And a conference is something where people gather to talk about their work, whether, you know, it's academic or if it's for a corporation or something. They gather to read you a paper about something they're working on that you're interested in because you're in the same field, and it's a meeting of the minds. A seminar is something where people gather, and what matters is what you do with the information that you learn, that you're trained in, you're coached in, when you take it out. A conference, what matters is what happens in the room. A seminar is what matters after you leave.
Well, and there you go, folks, the perfect definition of why this was called the Practical Politics and Leadership Seminar rather than the Leadership Conference. And everybody was an important member, the speakers, the audience. And it was all first-rate.
Yeah, both things always have their place, but it's important to understand, you know, the difference. A seminar, I think, is necessary because everybody is standing around knowing something's wrong when they get called a white supremacist because they're concerned about white genocide, you know, because they are concerned about an anti-white establishment and they get called names. Everybody knows there's something wrong at that point, but everybody also needs something to do about it. And staying on message and verbal tactics is the answer to that. And there's some people like Bob Whitaker and Sam Dixon who are experts in this, and they were here today. And you had people had the opportunity, a rare opportunity, to individually and in person work on streamlining these tactics. How do you respond when somebody calls you a racist? You know, that's what we worked on today, and I think that's just so invaluable. I know I learned a lot.
Well, we all did, and we wouldn't have learned it if it hadn't been for your vision, Derek, and I don't mean to heap, you know, excessive praise upon you, but I don't think I've done it enough, James, to be honest with you.
All the abusive praise gets balanced out by the horrible condemnation that I get from the anti-whites.
Right, yes. You know, we need these, you know, couple of days a year that we have together to balance out the 362 where we're under assault. So, but it works.
Yeah, that's our lives.
It works, though. You know, these 3 days certainly compensate for the other 362. Anyway, Derek, I know you got a rack of ribs there at your table, my friend. Listen, I'm going to impose upon our friendship one more time, though. You tell David that he's up next. Now, he knows he is because I talked to him. But unless he's forgotten or turned his cell phone off, so we're going to call him in about 5 minutes. If he doesn't answer, I'm going to call you back, and maybe you can just pass the phone down to him.
All right, wait a minute. Who is it that you're calling?
We're going to get David on the phone next. We'll call him in about 3 minutes. If he doesn't answer, I'm going to call on your phone. And this is how we're going to be doing, you know, nationally syndicated radio tonight. We're going to be passing the phone around at the dinner table. But you do what you got to do, right?
All right, man. Thanks for calling me. It was great to talk to you, and have a great show.
Hey, we will. Thank you, Derek. Derek Black, everybody.
Thanks, James.
From the Derek Black Show, AM 1340 WPBR, West Palm Beach, Florida. He has been doing this for a couple of years now. And I've known Derek for a few years, and he is considerably younger than me. I'm 31 years old. You just heard how eloquent a speaker and a leader Derek is. Just in the last couple of segments on the radio, you got a feel for that. He can't be, I don't know his exact age, I'm imagining 23, 24, somewhere around there. And already, I mean, you can tell he has a firm grasp of the English language. He is confident. He is in control. These are the people we need. And even though I'm a little older than him, I look up to him as a peer. And I know my work on the radio influenced his own work on the radio down there in West Palm Beach. He, you know, now hosting down there. It's the only other show in the country that is like the Political Festival. He deserves your support. And, of course, we believe that we do, too. But I can't say again, ladies and gentlemen, how lucky I've been over the course of the last few weeks to have traveled the country and to have met so many fine people. Of course, wrapping it up here today in Knoxville. And it's certainly, you know, a little bit of wear and tear with the travel and all that, but, you know, once you get here and you see it, it really recharges the batteries. And I've been very lucky. Last week in Washington, D.C., the National Policy Institute selected three people to speak at their press conference. Jared Taylor, Richard Spencer, and myself. I was one of the three. What an honor. Today, at this Practical Politics and Leadership Seminar that was sponsored by the Derek Black Show, there were six speakers, I believe roughly six speakers, and I was one of them. And folks, you know, again, the reason I have this reputation, whatever it is because the success of this radio program, and the success of this radio program fall squarely at the feet of you, our listening audience. You have made it successful. I'm out here on the road fighting for you as a result of that success, and I couldn't be happy. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with another guest.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. Big girls don't
cry. Big girls don't cry. Everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program, where unfortunately I am here in the hotel room doing the show rather than, well, I say unfortunately, I don't mean that. I would rather be nowhere else in the world than doing this show and broadcasting to all of you fine people on the affiliate stations tuned in tonight of the Liberty News Radio Network, our two affiliates in Memphis, and of course, around the world on the internet. There's no place I'd rather be, but I'm a little bit jealous that I'm not at the restaurant doing this with all of my friends. And is our next guest on the line?
I'm right here.
All right. Well, okay. We got the voice. Let me tell you who the man behind the voice is. Of course, a man who is no stranger to us here in the Political Cesspool radio program. He's been making appearances on this show nearly since our inception. He spent 4 years as an elected representative in the Louisiana State House. He came within a hair of being elected the governor of the state of Louisiana, and of course, ran a very competitive race for the United States Senate out of Louisiana. And ever since those historic campaigns, his name is always batted about in American politics. He's a frequent guest on national news shows all around the world, Dr. David Duke. David, welcome back to the show. Great to have you.
Well, great to be here. I've been on, you know, Meet the Press, I guess, which is the most famous interview program in America. I've been on that 3 times, but I'm really more honored to be in the James Edwards Show, and I really mean that from the bottom of my heart, because you really stand up for the principles of Middle America and people that founded this country. I'm really thankful for your great work.
Well, and David, yours as well. As I was sharing the story today, and I think I shared it in the first hour, it was 2004, and there we were in a hotel in Kenner, Louisiana. You and I had exchanged some correspondence, but it was in 2004 mm-hmm. when I first had the opportunity to meet you. We established a quick friendship yeah. and working relationship, and we have been working together ever since, and I'm a better man for it, and I'm thankful for you making the time to come back with us tonight. It was great having dinner with you last night and sharing the stage yeah. with you today at the conference. Share with people. I know, you know, you've got food on the table. We don't want it to get cold, so I'll make
that's
quick.
Okay. I mean, I came out to the porch, and I'm now sitting in a rocking chair. But let me tell you, we went to this little restaurant near the facility, and they have a special that you probably ought to come back here with Danny. And they got a special on like a ribeye, 48 ounces for $32. So we split it 3 ways, myself, Paul Fromm, and my lovely lady, Maria. And we split a 48-ounce ribeye with a big bone in it. I was just chewing on the bone before you called.
And 48 ounces. So. Yes, we're going to have to do that. I tell you, again, I said I was a little bit upset that I couldn't be there with them. And then you have to go and tell me a story like that. I had to eat McDonald's yeah. on the way back to the hotel. I had to inhale some food just to carry me over so I could do the show for 3 hours. But nevertheless,
yeah.
nevertheless.
You know, and I tell you, I just can't, you know, I don't understand this because, you know, I'm used to really good steaks in Louisiana and Texas, you know, but I can't believe that these people in Tennessee can make a steak as good as this. This is unbelievable.
Well, you know, these are mountain people here in this part of Tennessee. It's a little bit different, I tell you. It's a good stock up here, as you well know. But
yeah.
but anyway, David, I know you've got a lot of people there that want to
yeah.
talk with you as well. Share with people, and this is what we're trying to do with the speakers that I'm able to grab tonight for the show. What was your talk
uh-huh.
all about? Give them the condensed version.
Well, my talk was, with the whole theme of the conference, of course, was about how to reach people with our message and the psychology and the techniques and the tactics and how to argue with the, what we call, for a better word, the enemy, those that want to destroy our people. Now, one of the points made in the conference very well, and this is something people just kind of have to understand, it's hard to accept some people because it's so shocking to say, but literally our people, the European-American people, are in an absolute fight for their very survival. We are heading toward a genocide. That is a part of our genes, of our very existence on this continent. And that would be the greatest tragedy, I think, in the history of the earth, to see the elimination of a great people, both in Europe and America, New Zealand, Australia, that have created so much beauty, so much art, so much literature, so much law, so much creation, technology, my God, medicine to heal the sick. Our people, have, you know, we have a lot to be proud of. The media tries to feel guilty of our heritage, but the truth is every European should be proud of his heritage, you know. They often talk about us, you know, we talked about this in the conference today, that we're, what people are taught, like white race in school, always negative, like white people enslaved blacks or white people, you know, defeated the Indians, something like that. But the truth is that there always has been slavery in the world, all over the world. Every race has done it. But the white race is the only race that ever ended it, almost on a worldwide basis. The British Navy, when they realized this was, you know, slavery was wrong, then this new perception, it took Europeans to understand that slavery as an institution was wrong. Then they went all over the world and they stopped the sea lanes and they literally stopped slavery in the 19th century and eliminated most of it in the world. It still exists in some parts of Africa today where the Europeans have little influence. But the truth is we should, you know, instead of being pillared and condemned, we should be praised for a relation to slavery. We had a much shorter rendition of slavery than any other race.
That's exactly right. I thought that was one of the more profound comments that was given at the entire seminar today, and that was something I believe that Paul Fromm mentioned in his talk, and that's something that people, you know, but you never hear anybody. You know, people just accept this white guilt. There's so many white people who fundamentally agree with us on these issues
right. From
the privacy of their own home, but they don't dare, you know, stand up and speak out about these things because they accept their condemnation. They accept the guilt, and they believe
right. That
they are worthy of no praise, and in fact they are an inferior people. But in fact, as you mentioned, David, just now, most of the technological and scientific advancements,
yeah.
and I mentioned this in the first hour, have come from our people. There's
much good
that has been done in this world by
Western
stuff.
We're getting a little bit of an echo, and I'm not trying to interrupt your talk over you, so please, people in the audience, please forgive me if it seems like I'm interrupting, but we're getting a little delay or echo, I guess, with the bell tower here where I am in Tennessee. But, I want to say something, too, James, about you. I mean, and your listeners probably know this by now. I think you're a very modest guy, and that's an admirable trait. And the truth is, you know, your listeners should know that you gave a very fine talk today, and you exposed a lot of the true racism that goes on today, and the racism that goes on against European American people. And racist is a very pejorative term today, and it only applies to Europeans. But the truth is, as you said, that you know, the real racism are these people who are trying to specifically destroy the European people, and only the European people. They support immigration only in the Europe, America. They don't support it in Japan or China or Africa or whatever. And if massive numbers of white people moving to Africa tomorrow are taking over their society, they're a huge uproar. and you point this out. You pointed out very well in your lecture about discrimination going on and the hypocrisy. And as you said earlier, you know, what do we do positive? I mean, if you say a race is negative, every race is a negative thing. It's a nature of humanity. But the truth is, and I've said this many times in my books and my programs, that you know, yeah, we've caused some tears. But you know what, James? We've dried thousands of tears for every tear that we've caused. We've cured thousand people who were sick with disease with the medicine that our race created and the geniuses of our race created and the generosity and the charity that our people have given around the world to every one person that we've ever, you know, hurt or made sick. And we're still doing today hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of people every year are helped in charities and medicine and assistance and education by Europeans of the world, and yet still today we are presented as an evil race or an oppressive race or a race. It's absolutely insane, and I object to it, and we have to stand up to it as Europeans.
You know, David, you make a great point, because this is something that people need to think about. This is something people need to ponder and stow away in their hearts. You know, if you talk to a Jewish person, he says, you know what, I'm proud to be a Jew, and I'm thankful and grateful that the genetic lottery was as such that I was born a Jewish person. You know, people say, oh, man, that's great, that's great. You know, you talk to a black person, he says the same thing. Yes, you should be proud of who you are. You should have pride in being black. Hispanic, you know, everybody, homosexuals even, and you're not even born, you know, that's in many cases.
Yeah, gay pride day, right? You know?
Yeah, and you're proud. You can be proud of that. But if you say, you know what, because, you know, you gave some examples of why we should be proud of who we are and what we've done. You say, you know what, I'm white and I'm proud of it. Then it's not love, it's hate. You can't be, you know, anybody else, it's good pride. If you're white and you're proud of it, then that means you hate other people? Well, there's obviously something that's a very major disconnect there. David, I'd like to ask you to pick up on that. We've got to take a break. If you can just stick with us for 3 minutes, we'll come and wrap this up with you and let you get back to dessert.
I'd rather be. I can go back to dessert later.
Okay, well, stay tuned, my friend. We'll be right back with David Duke. We'll be right back.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Seminar today, the Practical Politics and Leadership Seminar. Of course, earlier in the hour, we talked with the event organizer himself, Mr. Derek Black, and now we are talking to Representative David Duke, my good friend, and happy to have him back on the show tonight. He's sitting out on a rocking chair outside of a restaurant where many of the conferees just got finished eating. As you heard David tell it, he just finished himself wolfing down a 120-ounce steak and
Oh, no. It was a 48-ounce steak, James. Let's get, before we start myths like Paul Bunyan or something like that, it was a 48-ounce steak, and I had a third of it, and my lovely lady Maria had a third of it, and Paul Fromm had another third of it. And the other person at the table, the vegan, didn't have any of it.
Facts every time. Facts every time. 48 ounces.
That's to be factual.
Still pretty big. Still better than my dinner tonight. Anyway. David was one of the speakers today, and it's always good when our paths cross. We've been working together for many years now, and I hope certainly for many years to come. But David, before the break, I was a little rushed there, so I don't know if I worded my point as astutely as it should have been. But basically, I was saying that you know each of these other races have a natural and healthy sense of racial identity and solidarity, and it's encouraged on by the media and everyone else. And when they have that sense of pride in their people, it's good and it's healthy, it's natural. When we do it, it means that we hate everybody else. Let's talk about that.
All right, let's do talk about it. And you know what it is? This whole thing, I'm getting an echo. It's kind of hard for me to focus. But the fact is that it's a big, this whole anti-white racism, the big con. It's absolutely a con because, as you know, there are hundreds of organizations for every sort of racial, religious group in the world. Jews have dozens of organizations, multi-million-dollar organizations, advance their interests, their specific Jewish interests in their culture, in their heritage, in their economics, in their supporting the State of Israel, for instance, and supporting often their crimes for Palestinian people. And Mexicans have organizations, La Raza Unida, which means the United Race. Blacks have the National Association for the Advancement of, quote, colored people. That's their word, not mine. And these groups unabashedly, frankly, openly, powerfully, openly say that they're going to support the interests of their people. Just watch out for their political, their social, their economic, their cultural interests. And the ironic thing is, it's okay for these groups to do this, but it's so-called evil for European Americans to. And the interesting thing, of course, is that not all Jews, but the Jewish stream, the powerful Jewish Zionists, they control Hollywood. They control the New York Hollywood Act media. They control the Washington Post, the New York Times. They control Newsweek. They control Time Magazine. They control U.S. News and World Report. They control the New York Post. We can go on and on and on. And they control ABC, CBS, and NBC. They control MTV. So they themselves support Israel. They tell all of our public officials, you must support Israel as a, quote, Jewish state. A Jewish state, not a multicultural state, not a multiracial state, but a, quote, Jewish state. But so it's got to be a con. So why is it okay for Jews, the same Jews that control the media and also control our politics, their money, high finance, they have, why is it okay for them to support a Jewish state and for us not to want to preserve our own heritage in our own country?
So are you still there, David?
Yeah, I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, we heard everything. It just sounded like you clicked off there at the last second. I know doing this over cell phones isn't the best way to do it. But no, you make a great point. And it's a point that's so simple, it defies belief almost that anyone could argue against it. But yet you see it every day, and they argue it so vigorously that they They nearly have fits. Oh, my God, you're so evil. You believe that you should be proud of being white? How could you possibly believe that? Well, you know, again,
the truth is probably I think they don't argue against it. They just kind of suppress it. You never hear that argument. They don't let your voice and your program really get the average person out there. They don't hear it. They hear it people listen to your show, but not people watch all the big mass national news programs. Mm-hmm.
But we do get, you know, a burst of press from time to time. Of course, you know, they label me all the, you know, usual adjectives, racist, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, and they do this. Why? You know, what have I ever done? What have I ever done except, you know, repeat basically the conversation we're having right now every week for the last 7 years on the airwaves? I mean, and if that constitutes
being a racist. Well, one of the principles of the conference we can share with your audience, for instance, and I always, that the truth is, the racism defined by the media, someone wants to suppress other people, take away their rights, not treat people fairly, not judge people by their individual merits, but by their race. And the truth is, the people who run the media are the truth of the real race in this society. Absolutely.
Yes.
Millions of white people face racial discrimination. Our heritage is attacked viciously, hatefully, in the Hollywood media, in the New York mass media of news and entertainment, and that's the truth. So they're the race. What our people are, what we are people that truly believe in racial freedom and racial independence. Every race has the right to preserve its heritage, and that the people should be judged for a job or promotion on the basis of their ability, not the basis of their race. We're not afraid of judging people on their merits.
Our
people have merit, and we are for the idea of everyone controls their own neighborhood, their own, have their own schools, have their own volition, freedom and defense for every nation on earth, and so we are the opposite. I mean, the whole thing is so convoluted and so perverted. It's just amazing how they get away with it so long.
No, it is. And, folks, this is something, as I told Derek in the first couple of segments this hour, this was a message that, in a good way, was repeated over and over and over again today. You know, this was something that we really try to ingrain in the people's minds. You know, these are the talking points they need as they go out there, because, really, how can you argue with anything David Duke has said today? And the fact of the matter is, they can't argue with anything David Duke has said tonight on the show or today in the conference, and because they can't, that's why they try to dismiss him as a racist or a hater, and that's what they do with all of us, but it's not being effective. I think more and more people are seeing through it.
When I served in the House of Representatives, you guys take a break?
No, we got about 2 more minutes.
Okay, when I served in the House of Representatives, you know, I sponsored the only bill that passed the legislative body in the United States that opposed affirmative action. You got to judge people by their individual merit. You can't give them advantage because of their race or sex or whatever. And when I said this, if we can have an equal right, a qualified person to get the job, you can't give them racial preference. The Black Caucus got up, could this be a race bill? And the entire media was opposed to the bill. It did pass the House of Representatives, thank goodness. It didn't make the Senate, but it passed my body overwhelmingly. And that's the only bill in the whole history of this country any legislative body has passed on this issue. We've had some voters' initiatives, and then the voters' initiatives overturned by the court. Listen, everybody, I hope everybody out there listening will get really educated. It's my books. You read my books. I know you really like them. My Awakening to Jewish Affirmative. I hope all your listeners will call us, write us, and get these books. Sign them for them. It's a hardback, beautiful bound book. And I promise you, you'll read it. It will awaken you. It will change your life. It'll give you a real view of the world. And you can reach me at davidduke.com. You can write to davidduke.com and get that book. Write me an email. Let me know what you think. And open your eyes and open your ears and open your mind. And you're going to find out that we are, like Dick Zephyr, David Duke, and others, We are now the vanguard of a new movement that is going to awaken our people, not only in America, but all over the world. Your work, James, is totally valuable in the sense that it's our people need this information to survive. It was also said in this conference that, you know, even if when a person is gasping for breath, the only thing important is getting the next breath. And our people not only in a battle for their rights, not discriminating against, we're in a battle for our very survival as a people. Everything we hold dear, future of our families and their right to be free and independent and even have the same characteristics of ourselves and our forefathers. And if you want to invest yourself involved in this fight for our freedom and our independence, our culture, our heritage, our every value we hold dear, contact me at davidduke.com. Read some of my books. Read our articles. We have thousands of articles on my website. Searchable. There is a wealth of information, I think, that will really give you a very clear picture of the world, and I urge your listeners to get in touch with me.
I'm glad you were able to get that in, David, because that was something I surely wanted to do before the time ran out this hour, and it's now upon us. Folks, don't let the media make up your mind on what we believe and what we're out here fighting for. Come to our own website. Find out for yourself. Make your own decision after you've read through the facts. And certainly check out and support David's work at davidduke.com. David, I'll see you in the lobby in about an hour. Maybe we can have a nice cap together after I get off work.
I look forward to that. And I hope you understand
Thank you so much, David. We will talk to you in just a little bit, my friend. But first, folks, we got one more hour forthcoming tonight in the Political Cesspool Radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and I'll bring it your way right after this break. Thank you.